Chapter 7, Mind Games to Make You Mighty, Emotional Conquest Over Rejection. Despite all the training, the techniques and tactics you may learn, you will never attain mastery in the selling game until you develop this one muscle. Everything you know about selling is made or is broken on this one point. The emotional energy you need to go on from one selling situation to another is directly impacted by your strength or weakness in this area. Undoubtedly, there is one part of the selling game that is most dreaded by the players. It is the fear of rejection. The irreplaceable muscle that you need to pursue mastery in the game is the power to handle rejection. The game of persuasion has great rewards, but the playing field is strewn with obstacles called no, no, no. Until you grow the strength to jump over such hurdles, you will continue to fall and bruise yourself every time someone says no to your best efforts. How then do you grow and strengthen this muscle? You were not born with a natural instinct to accept and like no. Do you recall when you were a child with unending wishes and wants and requests and demands? How did you feel when adults or friends said no to you? As children, we often would sob, bawl, holler, or scream when our requests were met with a no. Was handling rejection a part of our high school syllabus or college curriculum? Of course not. Nobody taught us how to handle no. Now we are asked to sell ideas and products to a crazy world that continues to bombard us with no. How do you deal with it? I once read in some anonymous source that 83% of the problems that salespeople have are internal, emotional ones, not the pricing, not the logistics, or any other external issue directly related to the product or service. Therefore, your ability to govern and predetermine your feelings will directly affect your level of success. Until you begin the path toward mastery, having others tell you no is likely to produce any combination of negative emotions. Here's a short list: disapproval, disagreement, lack of support, refusal, denial, displeasure, criticism, distrust, disfavor, reproof, opposition, lack of acceptance, rebuke, blame, exclusion, objection, personal rejection. Now, I have some really bad news for you and some really good news. So let's get the bad news out of the way. Unless you lose your soul and become a monster, you will never completely shake off all vulnerability to at least some of these negative emotions. I suppose it's possible to become so hollow and lacking in emotion that you regard sales as just a numbers game and you can churn through dispassionately and do the tasks of sales until somebody eventually says yes. Besides, with all this talk about mastery in the game, you may be led to think that the masters feel no pain. Not so. You too will sometimes feel the pain. When you become a master, you will know this to be so as well. The good news is you can learn to take the edge off these painful emotions, and eventually you can get to the point where their effects become minimal and even very temporary. How can that be accomplished? There are two approaches for conquering rejection. The first is emotional and the second is logical. In the next chapter, we will talk about the logical. But let us now deal with the emotional conquest. How? By learning to play mind games. Let the games begin. Let me make an assertion here. All human beings play mind games. In our minds, we imagine, fantasize, dream, visualize, and in other ways, we dramatize and exaggerate practical reality. The sad truth is that most people play negative mind games, and they serve to hamper, immobilize, and render them less effective in dealing with present reality. The effects include apprehension, skepticism, fear, and other similarly dysfunctional mental states. One day I was driving on the road with about 10 other automobiles around me when I glimpsed the flashing lights of a police car in my rearview mirror. What do you suppose my mind began to think instinctively? Was it, "Oh boy, one of these 10 drivers around me is in for some trouble"? Nope. Here's what went on in my head. Oh my goodness, how fast was I going? Did I make an illegal turn? Doggone it. I can't afford to get another ticket. If I get a ticket, my insurance rates are going to go up. If he stops me, I'm going to be late for my appointment. You know what? I can't deal with this right now. Not today. My heart began to pound. When the flashing lights came up right behind my car, I felt as stiff as a board. Suddenly, the police car moved swiftly into the next lane and sped right past me like a shot from a gun. For the first time in half a minute, I actually breathed in and breathed out. Can you relate to that scenario? The game was hot and it was active inside me, changing my physiology, my emotion, and my thought process. Interestingly, however, the game I played had little to do with the practical reality that led me into the game itself. A police car appeared behind me for a little while, then it moved to the next lane, then it sped away from me, completely independent of my negative fear-based game that was happening on the inside. Perhaps you can imagine yourself in some similar situation where your mind almost instinctively conjures up situations of disaster and evil and misfortune. Imagine that you're at home waiting for the return of your beloved mother or your daughter, let's say. It is nighttime and the weather is extremely bad. Thunderstorms, lightning strikes, and flash floods are terrorizing the town. She is now 2 hours late. There's no answer when you call her cell phone. What are you thinking? Do you immediately imagine that she decided to stop at a shelter in a motel along the roadside and that she's peacefully sleeping off the bad weather? Of course, she could have forgotten her cell phone and left it behind, or the battery could have died. On the other hand, does your imagination begin to play a more destructive game, visualizing negative, disastrous possibilities? Do you occasionally imagine bizarre accidents that make you sick with worry as the time drags on? Can you see her stranded on the road in the darkness with her car in the ditch? Do you get an urge to call the hospital and ask to be connected to the emergency room? Do you want to call the police real badly? Are you restless? And now the phone rings. After being afraid to answer, to pick up the phone, you finally pick it up and here's what you learn. She simply fell asleep on the couch at her girlfriend's house and the thunder awakened her 2 minutes ago. She's very apologetic for not having called you, not being awake to realize what was going on and how you might be worrying about her. In this example, it is clear that there are times when our worst fears are indeed realized. Something could have gone wrong with your mom, that is for sure, or with your daughter. But wouldn't you agree that in the vast majority of cases, the negative game is taking place only in our minds? Almost always, the truth is not as bad as we imagine, because we have a tendency to imagine the worst. We all suffer from the conditioning of living in a negative world. If we are so prone to play negative mind games, and we are so good at them, are you prepared to learn how to play some positive ones? The masters in the selling game are expert at this. They are mentally able to reframe and to reconstruct negative things that people say in such a way that the meanings change. Learn their ways and you can minimize undesirable things and lessen their impact. You can learn to rationalize and justify situations so easily that they create barriers to the negative effects of people saying no to you. You can maintain your mental and psychological health despite the outcome of each presentation so that you gain renewed energy to present to the next customer or the next prospect. When you develop this skill, you become mighty and unstoppable in the selling game. Furthermore, as a result, you will get yes far more often. Why? Because you've learned to avoid the negative spiral that goes like this. Negative emotions produce lower levels of confidence. Lower levels of confidence, in turn, produce less persuasive power. Less persuasive power in turn produces more frequent responses of no. The more no's you get, the less money you make, until you learn how to turn them into yes. On the other hand, you now are learning how you can reserve your energy to move on to the next opportunity with no feeling of dejection or rejection. So let's talk about game number one. This is called reframing. Have you ever been embarrassed after making a presentation because of the response of your audience or of your potential buyer? Have you ever felt let down or severely disappointed because you failed to make a sale or to achieve something on which you set your mind? Didn't your emotions produce negative and undesirable conditions inside you when that happened? Now, you're about to receive a piece of information with implications that are so vast that they're life-changing. The applications of this go far beyond the context of selling or business. Gain this skill, and it can produce a sense of peacefulness, happiness, and balance that few human beings attain. Not because they cannot, but because they do not know what I'm about to share with you. Trust me when I tell you, ignorance is definitely not bliss. The point is illustrated in this example. You are in an auditorium at a gymnastics event, and you turn around. Suddenly you observe a thin, shapely young lady standing on one foot while balancing herself with arms outstretched. She's poised on the ball of her left foot as her right foot projects forward almost horizontally. Now rewind. You are driving up a winding mountain road with the hillside to your left and to your right, a steep, rocky precipice with a sheer 200-foot drop into a ravine. Your car turns a sharp left corner, and on the right, at the edge of the cliff, you suddenly observe a thin, shapely young lady standing on one foot while balancing herself with arms outstretched. She's poised on the ball of her left foot as her right foot projects forward over the cliff. Observe in these two stories that the actions and behaviors of the principal character, the young lady, are exactly the same. And yet, depending on which of the two scenarios you observed, you would experience very different emotional responses. Do you agree with that? In the first example, it would seem appropriate to feel admiration, approval, and respect for the young lady. In the second instance, it would seem appropriate to feel apprehension, fear, or outright terror. You would experience very different emotions, although the actions and behaviors observed were identical. The difference is context. The frame put around the young lady is different from one situation to the other. One frame is a gymnasium. The other is a deep precipice over the edge of a cliff. One may elicit joy for inferred athletic abilities and performance. The other may elicit fear at the prospect of a suicidal jump or an unintended fall that takes her life. Let us explore how you can apply this to govern your feelings and to improve your effectiveness. First, understand the definition of the term reframing. It is a mental game of changing the context or the frame surrounding an occurrence so that the mind assigns a different emotional value to the outcome. Second, recognize a critical distinction. On the one hand, there is a thing that happens, an actual occurrence that is observable in real space and time. In this case, it is a girl standing in a certain pose. On the other hand, there are the interpretations and the meanings that human beings assign to the occurrence. The way in which we experience the occurrence is directly determined by the frame we put around it, the interpretations, the meanings we assign to it. When you change the frame, you change the meaning. When you change the meaning, you change the way you experience and feel about it, the way it impacts you emotionally. The ability to do this in your life gives you extraordinary power. Let's revisit my question above. Have you ever been embarrassed after making a presentation? What if you knew that you could choose your emotional response when someone tells you no, or someone tells you something other than that, that may otherwise not be desirable? What if you knew that feeling embarrassment or anger is a choice that you make? Would you choose a different emotion? By simply changing the frame or context surrounding the no, you can feel completely different. It is no harder to do so than for me to write or say two simple paragraphs as I described above regarding the young lady. And in one of those cases, we were talking about a gymnasium. And in the other case, we were talking about standing at the edge of a cliff. It is as easy as for me to say that to you if you choose to do it in your mind. You literally choose to feel the way you do by reframing an occurrence to suit your desire. It is a magnificent, empowering game that few people ever learn. The idea that we make a choice to feel embarrassment, to feel shame, the idea that we choose when we want to be angry or to feel insulted about some other response that we get from somebody else may be very difficult for us to accept. And here's the reason. The way we feel may not be a conscious choice. Often it is done at a subconscious level, but it is no less a choice. Oh, by the way, the decision to feel that way may be so rapid that it may seem automatic. But let's examine the two mechanisms that lead to emotional responses. And in such situations, here they are. One is context, and two is conditioning. When you make a presentation, for example, and someone says no, the way you feel is dependent on the frame or the context in which your mind interprets that answer. That, in turn, helps to determine how you feel about the occurrence. Here is an example of that. John does the best job he knows to do his presenting of his products whenever he goes out to a customer. Now, on this occasion, Peter, the customer, says, "No!" John's mind quickly interprets the response in the following context. Oh boy, it's the end of the month, and if he doesn't say yes, I'm going to miss my quota. My boss will kill me. Gosh, I'm feeling sick to my stomach. This sales thing is really getting on my nerves. And so John leaves. He feels sad. He feels depressed. And so he decides to take the rest of the day off. Here's a second scenario. George does the best job he knows to present his products to his customers whenever he goes out to see them. On this occasion, Peter, his customer, says, "No!" George's mind quickly interprets the response in this context. Oh boy, it's the end of the month. If this guy is going to continue denying that this is the best program he's seen all week, then I've got to get out of here. I can make three more calls today, and somebody is going to be more logical and receptive than Peter, for heaven's sake. And so George leaves with a sense of focus and of impatience, anxious to get on with the next three calls. Here's a third example. Mary does the best job she knows to do in presenting her products to her customers whenever she goes out to present. On this occasion, her customer Peter says, "No!" Mary's mind quickly interprets the response in this context. Oh boy, it's the 29th of the month, and I've not achieved my quota for the month as yet. The month is almost over. Well, it's only September, and I have 3 months in which to exceed my annual quota. I've been putting too much emphasis on Peter and spending too much time with him and his business. He's really negative and unsupportive. For the next 3 months, I'll put my major focus on my top two accounts, and I'm going to explode the numbers. I'll make my bonus this year." Mary leaves with a sense of deep resolve and purpose. She is going to succeed whether or not Peter supports her. Now, all three salespeople faced identical occurrences and outcomes. All three felt different emotions upon leaving the buyer's office. The only thing different was the context or the frame that each person voluntarily chose to apply. Please understand how the game works. It's not as though someone insults you to your face and you tell yourself, "That's not a bad thing, I'm not going to feel insulted." You cannot directly control the emotions by directly telling yourself not to feel that way. You would be missing a necessary step in that process. First, you have to change the context to one that more naturally elicits the emotions that you desire to feel. Here's an example of that. Martha tells you that you must be a stupid idiot to believe that you're ever going to become successful in any business. After all, who do you think you are? You are the same flunky that she knew in high school. Get out of her face with your vitamins. Who do you think you're fooling? She'd never buy anything from you, even if she found out that you hadn't stolen all that stuff. This example leads us to the second mechanism that is mentioned above, conditioning. We've just talked about context. Now let's focus on conditioning. Due to the way in which we were socialized, due to the way we have observed others react when insulted, we have developed a fairly consistent set of responses to apply when others speak insulting words in our direction. When we are insulted, we experience emotions such as shame, sadness, and various shades of anger. The association is so consistent that when others speak the right words to us or the wrong words to us, we default to those emotions almost automatically. Why? We have been conditioned to do so. Something most liberating happens when you become aware of the conditioning of your emotions. You regain the power to control them again, and you recapture the ability to make a choice about what emotions you will experience, if any at all. You can reshape or recondition your emotional responses in a number of ways. The one on which we focus as being extremely helpful for salespeople is reframing. The process we discussed above, called reframing, is extraordinarily powerful, as I've mentioned before. If you did not know this mind game, how would you feel after Martha said those fighting words about your character and about your reputation as far as she knows it? Would you not feel insulted, beaten down, angered? If I were unaware of the conditioning of my emotional responses and Martha called me a stupid idiot, a flunky, and insinuated that my merchandise might be stolen, how would I feel? I would immediately experience a surge of anger and a compulsion to assault her right back. After all, who is she to be so high and mighty as to defame my character? I'm just trying to sell a nutritional product, for heaven's sake. On the other hand, if I am aware of the conditioning and I know how to play the mind game, I might react differently and experience far less debilitating emotions. I might change the context and I might reframe her comments to produce a different outcome, such as the following. Poor Martha. She's just had a bad day, or maybe even a bad week. Look at her. Her life is a bit of a struggle, and here I come looking all successful and going somewhere in my life. Yeah, her words are harsh, but I bet she's suffering on the inside. It's really a shame that she's so negative and so cross. I can walk away from her, but she can't. Well, unfortunately, I can't help her. Let me go find somebody I can help. Your ability to attain mastery in the selling game is highly dependent on your level of emotional energy and your attitude. If you allow yourself to experience the preconditioned emotions that our culture teaches, your sales results will be in trouble. In fact, your entire emotional health will be in trouble. In the selling game, you will get a no far more frequently than you get a yes. Without this mind game of reframing, you will then experience far more periods of negative emotional energy than positive. You will experience far more occasions of bad attitudes than good. That, in turn, will worsen your sales results even more. Learn to apply this reframing process to your life and your career, and you will have learned a mind game to make you mighty. No longer will you have to suffer the weakening and debilitating and destructive energy loss, negative emotions, unless you choose to do so. Practice reframing until it becomes instinctive. Maintain your emotional health, your balance, your energy. That in turn will lead to better results and greater rewards. Mind game number 2, truth bearer. In this mind game, if someone says no to you, it does not matter whether it's a mild refusal or an aggressive criticism that seeks to insult you personally. In either case, you remain unshaken because you are firmly convinced that what you offer is good and wonderful, and smart, business-minded people will say yes. The truth bearer mind game is one in which you fortify yourself with the knowledge that you have the best product, the best service, or the best program for your customer or your prospect. However, you cannot simply get there by telling yourself to think that. There's a critical prerequisite in order for you to be able to play this game well. You must truly believe in the superiority of what you are selling. That belief comes most authentically from personal experience and from the comments of satisfied customers or clients of yours. If you are able to hold such a positive impression of your offering, then here's how you play the game. When you get a no from the customer that you'd like to say yes to you, or from a prospect, determine that you are better off than they are because you leave them behind without the benefits and the end states that they could have received if they had only said yes to you. Now, decide to feel some wholesome emotions for them. You may feel pity for them or compassion for them. You may even choose to feel no particular emotions at all, but simply to move on. This game keeps you mentally on top. You choose to maintain your wholeness and to move on to someone else who is more appreciative of the benefits and the improved outcomes of your fabulous product or your fabulous service. Mind game number 3, playing the numbers. What if you knew that every time someone said no to you, it meant money in the bank? Would you still feel rejected and dejected, or would you start feeling good and move on quickly through the next no? How can this be? Money in the bank because someone says no to you? If selling is a numbers game, and they say that it is, then let's talk about how you play that game. Let me share a formula that will make you mentally mighty. For this game, I give full credit to a former business partner, Greg Provenzano, because he was the first one who helped me understand the logic of it. You, like everyone else, have an average for how often you get a no before you get yes with regard to any particular selling proposition. Most people never measure that average, but the rules of this game require that you do. Step 1. Observe your performance for a few days and figure out your own average. For every yes, how many times do you get a no? Note that a limited set of observations will not be enough. So let's say that in one day you make 9 calls to sell a particular thing. 3 people say yes. If you were to stop there, your average would appear to be only 1 in 3, but that is not enough data because it is based on only one day's observations. On the second day, you might make 10 calls and one person might say yes to you. Now you have 15 calls and 4 occurrences of yes over the 2-day period. You continue to observe your daily average, and let's say at the end of a week, you have made 50 calls and 10 people have said yes. Now you have a somewhat more robust average of 1 yes for every 5 attempts. Let's take the case of David and Barbara. David averages 5 no's for every yes he gets. Barbara averages 10 no's for every yes. So now, let's take this into step 2. Calculate, on average, how much money you make when someone says yes to you. This is not difficult to do. So here are a couple examples. Each time David recruits a prospect that starts up successfully, David makes a commission of $450. In Barbara's case, her total compensation varies from month to month, so it's very difficult to calculate it as simply as David calculates his. So she takes her annual salary and she divides by 52 to get a weekly amount. Let's say that it is $900 per week. Barbara averages 3 yes answers every week. Therefore, each yes is worth $300. Now this is her yes. She's yet to calculate her no's. Step 3. Calculate the worth of each no and begin to regard no as a positive economic value. In the case of David, he divides his 450 by 5, the 5 no's that he gets on average before he makes one sale and gets a yes. Now, the value of each of those no's is 90, because he's taken 450 and divided by 5. In Barbara's case, she divides her $300 by 10 and gets a value of $30 for each no. In other words, each time she gets a yes, as you may recall, it's worth $300 for her. But she gets 10 no's before she gets each yes on average. So the 30 is the result of dividing 300 by 10. Now, as David makes his pitch and someone says no to him, he thinks to himself, okay, I just made another $90. And here's the logic. Statistically, every no that David gets draws him closer to a yes. In David's case, the average yes must be divided into the prerequisite 5 no's for every 6 attempts. 5 of them are going to be no, and therefore the average for each no is calculated at $90. Does this make sense? I trust it does. Sometimes Barbara, for example, will get 2 yes answers in a row. Or, on other occasions, she may have to wade through 25 no answers before she gets her yes. What we're talking about here is simply the average. Play this particular game and it will not only take the edge off the negative responses, but it will help you see positive value going through no's on the way to getting yes. If you want to make more money, simply maintain your average and get no more often. Do this often enough and even your average will improve. Mind game number 4, logical separation. I want to share with you a way to drive yourself crazy, to lose your confidence, and to live in a place of low esteem, doubt, and sadness. This method works extremely well. Practice it, and you will reap the fruits of low productivity, of poor results, limited rewards, and a general sense that your life simply is not working out. Let me illustrate with a sales story. You offer your customer a program to purchase a new state-of-the-art telephone system combined with high-speed internet access. Your customer eventually says, "No, we'll keep the system that we have." You immediately conclude that you are pretty useless. You're a poor communicator. In fact, you're not even sure you're qualified to do this work. You feel insulted, rejected, denied. Your confidence weakens, and you're afraid to face your boss. Given what actually happened, is it logical to make such conclusions about yourself? No, of course not. Well, you may be surprised at how many people take it personally and react in a similar way when they face rejection. This mind game of logical separation is extremely powerful in its effect. It requires you to separate your being, your identity, your person from the outcome of a particular interpersonal event or a selling occasion. Some people simply get it. Others don't. Imagine that a waitress approaches the table where you're sitting with 3 of your friends. She asks them for their order. Each one orders a meal and gets a drink. Now it's your turn. You tell the waitress that you're fine, the water is enough, and you won't be ordering anything else. She looks downcast. She leaves quietly. And then she goes into the kitchen and she begins to moan and to complain to the head cook about how hurt and rejected she feels. She fights hard to hold back the tears, and she must hold them back because, oh boy, there's another table of new customers, and she now needs to approach these customers and ask them the same question. Now she's afraid. She doesn't want to face the new customers. Her approach is timid, it's uncertain, and it's done in a low, fearful voice. Now, doesn't that scenario sound ludicrous? Of course it does. That kind of reaction is not realistic. Why? Because the waitress simply gets it. Some will want food. Some won't. So what? Next person, next table. Now, if you get that, why in the world then would you ever feel inadequate because someone says no to your idea or your proposition, even if that person is your friend or a relative? Note that not everyone plays this mind game very well. Not everyone gets it. Those who do not have a clear image of who they are, oftentimes they yield to the overpowering temptation to confuse external events with their internal being, identity, and character. Upon observing an event, they quickly establish illogical connections between such event and the kind of person that they are. So, what must you do in order to make the logical separation game work well for you? Do this exercise. First, get an index card. Write several bullet points answering the following question: Who am I? Make the answer a positive, uplifting statement of your character, your passions, your talents, your strengths, your dreams and aspirations. Use more than one card if necessary. Put the card in your folder or put it in your purse. Then review the card often. Second, when you get a particularly heavy refusal or denial that tempts you to take it personally and to feel inadequate, take out the card or cards and read them. Then remind yourself of exactly what just happened. For example, John refused to buy product X, and that has nothing to do with who I am. This is who I am. And then you read your index cards again, and you decide simply to move on and pursue another sale. This game will work for you, even outside the selling context. When someone gossips or curses or insults you, or in some other way seeks to malign you, the temptation to feel inadequate or hurt is very strong, I must admit. However, take out your index cards, read the contents, and make the logical separation. On the one hand, here is the person you truly are: strong, powerful, aspiring, ambitious, good, and wholesome. On the other hand, there is someone who just moved his lips and said some potentially negative, potentially malicious words. Refuse to mix the sentiments of the negative events with your person and your emotional state. Decide to move on and render those words as completely irrelevant to who you are. You will gain power over anger, over shame, and over a host of all kinds of emotional distress. That power makes you a better salesperson. Better yet, that power makes you a better person. These mind games may seem to be so simple, but do not be deceived. In their simplicity lies their power. The way you think, your mental health, your emotional balance, all have more to do with your success than may be immediately obvious. Whether or not you choose to play these positive, empowering games, your mind is going to play games anyhow. And if you do not train your mind, most of the games that your mind plays will tend to be negative and disempowering. Until you gain the skill to manage and direct the games your mind plays, you may find that your success is sporadic, unpredictable, and difficult to sustain. Become skillful at the games that are outlined in this book, and you will gain power to maintain the poise and natural balance, the level-headedness that is needed to start every new endeavor with fresh energy, creativity, and with resolve, regardless of the outcome of the previous encounter. Now, here's one final word of caution about how the games work. The games are not an excuse to back down and turn away immediately as someone says no to you. Not at all. Do your normal renegotiating, persuasion. Address objections as they come up. Be tenacious, be persistent, push back a little. Because these are the things that we need to do in order to convert no to yes. But then, if and when you come to conclude that the answer is going to stay no, Then move on to the next step in the game where you maintain your emotional composure and you focus your energy on the next opportunity. Your productivity, your happiness, your results, and your rewards will grow to reflect your skill as you become better at the mind games that make you mighty. And now in conclusion, the bottom line. One ingredient without which it is impossible to attain and sustain success in the selling game is your ability to handle rejection, to manage your emotions and energy level when your best efforts are met with a no. We all instinctively play mind games that exaggerate and represent reality in a typically negative way. Learn to play the mind games that make you mighty. Reframing. Change the context through which you interpret the events, and you change the way you experience those events. Truth bearer. Develop a firm, unshakable belief in the rightness of your work, your company, and your products. Feel a bit of sorrow for those who say no and forfeit the remarkable benefits you offer. Play the numbers. Statistically, determine the number of no's that you average and assign a dollar value to every no. And then logical separation. Refuse to confuse negative external events with your inherent internal being, the person you truly are on the inside. The masters in the selling game play this way to maintain their drive, their mental well-being, and their extraordinary results. Will you do the same?